Generally, when I get ready to read a statement, there's something bad or very serious that is going to be said, but not so tonight. You well know that some 5 years ago when Doris died, that I had weekly classes and with the idea of showing what a grieving person goes through. We did that for several weeks, and then we stopped. And then I had another class at the end of 2 years. At that time, why, I was still in great pain, and I determined that I'd wait until the end of 5 years, and then I wanted to make a final statement. What I'd like to do tonight is to read a statement here that will take only about 5 minutes. To do that, because at the last time, I was left in kind of a lingering way. There have been people throughout the United States that have written me and stated that they've gotten these tapes and they've lost their loved ones and how much it has helped them. Each one of them says almost the same thing. And that is that it doesn't take away their grief at all, but it does give them an outlet to hear somebody pour their heart out and to know that they're not going crazy. Because most grieving people will go through those periods and think those thoughts that they will think that they're the only ones in the world that feel that way. And to be able to hear somebody else to talk about it, and I think especially publicly, gives a person a great deal of comfort to know that they're not really going crazy when they have those feelings. So it's with that idea tonight that I want to read a statement here to conclude that series so that it will have a cap put on it, and the statement will only take about 5 minutes. It has now been a little over 5 years since Doris died. The last time I talked with you about the subject of grief was the end of the second year. Some have asked me how I feel now at the end of this period, and I'm sure that others who might like to know but have not asked. Besides this, I want to make some comments at the end of this period, so it will be on tape as the final one in the series of grief. I want to do it for those who are now in grief as they listen to this. I want to do it because I want to give them hope. In surveys taken about grieving people, it has been concluded that 5 years is a magic number. Recent studies done by Harvard University confirm the studies that I gave you in class after Doris died. In a recent Science News magazine, they say, an extensive follow-up study indicates that emotional recovery is longer and more difficult than has often been assumed by clinicians and researchers. 4 to 7 years after the accident, bereaved spouses and parents in the study reported marked depression and a failure to resolve their loss. Most people say that's the end of quote. Most people say at the end of 5 years that they are as happy as they were before their loved one died. I have found this to be true in my experience, and I want to share it, especially with those who are now grieving. Each year has gotten better and better, and I now feel that I am healed of that deep, painful, bitter grief that we talked about 5 years ago. I am now in the stage of Bathsheba, where after she was healed, and I can relate to the statement made concerning her in 2 Samuel 11:26, where the record says, and when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she made great lamentation for her husband. And when the mourning was past, David sent and took her home to be to his house, and she became his wife. I will keep my comments very brief, and for this reason I have written them so that I will not get off of the subject. After I talked with you at the end of the second year, I wondered if I would keep feeling better. My mother-in-law assured me that the healing would go on, and I would keep getting better and better for a few more years. It seemed impossible at the time, but it did happen exactly that way. I now see where I was still in a very painful and confused stage of grief. Between the 24th and 36th months, I made tremendous progress, and it seemed like it happened as follows. About a month before the date of her death, which was November 9th, I would begin to feel blue and depressed for no reason at all. It was so subtle that I didn't even realize what was happening. I always psyched myself up so I would not be despondent on the day of her death, but those blue periods did come upon me. I would always do very well on the day of her death, but then I would seem to sink lower and lower for about 6 weeks afterwards. I was always proud of myself because I had made it through the anniversary date, but that blue and depressed feeling would keep hanging over my head. About February 1st, it would seem to just suddenly lift and go away. I would get to feeling so good that it was scary. The improvement would continue until June and then level off. As I went into the fourth anniversary last year, the same thing happened in exactly the same way. I just couldn't believe it. When I started feeling better about February 1st, it happened so rapidly that I would think, if I keep improving at this pace, I'll feel so good at the end of the year that I can just float to the moon. Once again, it continued until June and then just leveled off. As I went into the fifth anniversary this past November 9th, those blues and depressions were not deep and hurtful as before. It didn't happen either before or after the anniversary. It was indeed a strange feeling and one that every grieving person looks forward to. One will always remember their dead mate with fondness, and there will always be a scar in your heart, but the beautiful thing is that these scars are not painful. We had 32 wonderful years together, but today they seem more like a dream than a reality. They have come to an end, and the pain is now gone. A new life and a new future has opened up for me, and I look forward to it with vigor and joy and great anticipation. After going through those 5 years and coming out on this side, free of pain, anguish, hurt, and confusion, I can now see a few things very clearly. First, I can see that I was totally crazy. Every emotion, every feeling, every ounce of self-esteem was stretched to the maximum. I went to bed feeling that way. I got out of bed feeling that way. I greeted people feeling that way. I talked with people feeling that way. I judged people feeling that way. And under those circumstances, I am sure that I stretched your tolerance to the maximum. I am sure that I looked at you the wrong way. I'm sure that I said wrong things to you. I'm sure that I offended you in many ways. I do not know of any specific event or person, or I would apologize directly. But I do want to say thank you for putting up with me through my crazy days. And if I have offended you, please forgive me. The only thing I can now be sure of is in the words of a lady who wrote one of the first books I read. I can now see I was crazy. Another thing that I can see is the good in working through grief rather than hiding it. As you well know, I was so devastated that I couldn't hide it. I lost 40 pounds, looked like a ghost, and probably acted like Ebenezer Scrooge. I went into it with the attitude that suffering always purifies and makes one a better person. I was determined to taste and experience every phase of grief, knowing that it was God's way of healing the mind. I can now see that during those crazy periods that my mind was working and doing wonderful things. It was sorting out the important things and the unimportant things of life. It was readjusting and rearranging the way that I think about life here and life hereafter. It was giving up what I loved so much and thought was so important, and it was accepting what life really is and what is really important. The end result is good, but the process is painful. A physical analogy that only a grieving person could understand would be if one had a diseased heart, someone inserted a meat hook and just jerked it out, then through the same hole pushed in a new heart and let it begin beating. The result would be good, but the process would be painful. The important thing is that you can either dwell on the pain or you can rejoice with the results. Today, I rejoice with the results. My set of values, my convictions, my outlook on life, my faith in God has been made stronger. I now understand another statement from a book that confused me and angered me 5 years ago. The author said, "You cannot truly appreciate life until you face death." I could go on and on dealing with specifics that are not but that's not my intention tonight. I just wanted to share these things with you as a synopsis of what's happened after 5 years. Now concerning my closing remarks. I will need to make a short and incomplete explanation. I will read to you exactly what I wrote 6 weeks ago and what I intended to say, but since then I have modified it somewhat. My original words were as follows. Quote, "I want to say one other thing that may be the most embarrassing thing I ever did, or it might be the most joyful. Nobody on earth knows what I am about to say. Not my children, not Helen, not my friends. I have always been open and tried to share my life with this congregation, both in rejoicing and in grief. And I want to share one other thing with you at this time. I want it to be on tape so those in grief, as they listen to this tape, will understand there is hope of recovery when you think there is none. For those who have listened to my tapes made 5 years ago, you will remember that I related the story about how my wife spoke of her death 1 week before she died. At that time, she said she wanted me to remarry. As I responded that I didn't know anyone I would want to marry, she said she knew of one, and she said it was that little blonde who lived across the mountain, and the lady's name was Helen Vandergrift. As a matter of coincidence, or as I prefer to call it, providence of God, I did begin to date this lady. I've been dating Helen for 4.5 years. Which may seem like a long period of time to some. However, there has been method in my madness because I did not want to remarry before I was healed. I wanted to wait long enough so I could get to know the person that I wanted to marry. I determined to wait long enough to know her very, very, very well. I have seen so many marriage problems that the thought of marriage strikes fear into my heart. One of the first things I did after Doris died was determine that I would not enter a new marriage for 5 years because that was the period of time the books told me it generally takes for one to be fully healed. And up to this time, Helen and I have never discussed marriage at all. The 5 years has now passed. I do know Helen very well. I have found her to be a very spiritually minded woman and one who has great faith in God and our Lord Jesus Christ. She has impressed me with having one of the strongest faiths of any person I've ever met. She has an excellent knowledge of the Bible and she studies it daily. She's always looking for opportunities to teach the Word of God and does so on a regular basis. Those qualities were first and foremost in my mind as I looked for a new wife. During this time, I have learned firsthand the value of a wife in a man's life. In the very beginning of time, God stated in Genesis 2:18, "It is not good that a man should be alone." God knew it from creation. I have learned it by experience in this short period of time in my life. And besides all of this, I love her very, very much, and I want to make her my wife. So I will ask her in front of all of you. Helen, you do not have to give me an answer now. And especially if your answer is no. But will you marry me so I can become the happiest man in the world? Now there's where I need to stop and make a correction. I chickened out. When it got down to the time to ask her publicly whether she would marry me, I did chicken out. Instead, I took her to a quaint little restaurant in Snohomish last Monday night and asked her very privately. After a period of time and a discussion much too long for me, she did accept. The date has not been set, but it will still be sometime in the future due to personal reasons. And I thank you, and you can consider yourself dismissed.